Blog Talk Radio.
That you lack it in the first place.
Now, the more you desperately want to be rich, the more poor and unworthy you feel, regardless of how much money you actually make. The more desperately you want to be sexy and desired, the uglier you come to see yourself, regardless of your actual physical appearance. The more you desperately want to be happy and loved, the lonelier and more afraid you become, regardless of those around you. The more you want to be spiritually enlightened, the more self-centered and shallow you become trying to get there. All right, so I will never judge you, okay? I will never give you bad advice. I will always give the best advice possible, and it sometimes isn't what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. Because, you know, as we grow, you know, and change every day, nobody ever talks about this part, you know, the part where you're no longer a caterpillar and you're not yet a butterfly and you don't know who you are and you don't know where you're going. And all you know is that every fiber of your being is calling for transformation, for disruption, for a revolution of the spirit, to surrender, break down. This is not the death of you. This is the dying of who you once were. This is your rebirth, darling. And these are called growing pains. You know, it's all about, honestly, if you choose, you can choose your hard. Life is hard. You can choose your hard. You know, getting married is hard. Getting divorced, even harder. You know, things like that. You gotta, I always expect things to go wrong. I'm one of those people, and I'm never disappointed, but I'm always pleasantly surprised. I guess someone said that, famous, I don't know who it was. I think it was Thomas Jefferson or some shit like that. I don't know. I think my mom mentioned it. I didn't know that someone else actually said that, but that is something that I say. And so it's pretty interesting to find out that somebody way back in the day also felt the same and said the same shit. So in other news, the nerves from our teeth are directly connected to the brain, and each tooth has an energetic connection to different organs and functions in the body. So imagine what a root canal, mercury fillings, and or fluoride in the person's mouth will do to a brain when they're connected like that. I didn't know that our teeth were connected to our brain. So this week in Congress, the Dems passed $1.9 trillion COVID package to deliver stimulus checks with dependents, cut child poverty in half, extend $300 UI, prevent cuts in state, local services, largest ever investment in Native communities, etc. You know what the GOP did? They took a week to read The Cat in the Hat. And to you, Tucker Carlson, talking about women who serve, I'm sorry. These women, a lot of them, signed up to serve their country at 18. Tucker Carlson did not. They served with women who risked their lives to protect their country. Tucker did not. While he denigrates those who serve, the military remains the best fighting force due to large part service women. Fucking service women, you piece of shit. Anyway. Now that the Republicans, not one of them fucking voted for the goddamn $1.9 trillion relief package, and 75% of people support it, and now they have to explain to their constituents why they were against putting money in their pockets. But they're trying to claim credit for the relief bill, for which none of them voted for. It was a tactical mistake. They fucking know that shit. And remember, we're alchemists. The moment that we start perceiving life as it all is happening in your favor, you start transmuting all of your bad times into wisdom with ease. To be an alchemist, you got to perceive everything as it is happening for you, not to you. I know it's hard. And while we're talking about billionaires, does anyone realize that 9 billionaires gained $360 billion in the pandemic? Bezos. I'm putting words that aren't there. Letters that aren't there is weird. Bezos donated 0.3% of pandemic gains to charity. Ooh, what's he do? Musk gave 0.004%. What'd you give, a dollar? Zuckerberg gave 0.4%. Gates gave 7%. Brin, who owns Google, gave 0.3%. Page, Google. Ellison, Ballmer, Ellison and Ballmer, they gave 0.3%. And Dell gave 0 known donations. So why don't we tax them? And if you're paying attention, Biden secured 100 million more vaccines, so now every adult will have one by May. The Senate confirmed Merrick Garland as Attorney General after Mitch McConnell stole his Supreme Court seat, and Congress passed Biden's $1.9 trillion relief package with $1,400 checks and $3,600 child tax credits. We're overdue, guys. Overdue. And, you know, there's a lot of people who still won't get relief. And while we're talking about it, you know, some of these stimulus packages or some of the stimulus people will receive will pay their rent for months. And in other places, it'll only pay a quarter of rent. You know? So it's like, you know, Kroger says it will close 3 underperforming stores in Los Angeles after the passage of $5 hero pay bump for grocery store workers. Kroger's CEO makes $21,100,000. Yeah. Here's the Senate Dems who voted no on the $15 minimum wage amendment. We've got Sinema, Tester, Coons, Manchin, Shaheen, Hassan, Harper, and King. For the let them wait 8 who voted for tax credits but not living wages, your actions are tantamount to giving enslaved people freedom but not 40 acres and a mule for giving people in the Great Depression food coupons but refusing to provide all people a higher minimum wage. Shame on you. You know why the right is talking about Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head and Pepe Le Pew now? Because they don't have a single policy proposal that would help anyone in the country other than the super rich. So they have to distract you with culture wars. Don't fall for it. And I'm going to say this for the mouth breathers in the back because I have been getting some really annoying messages. You don't get to say what is or isn't acceptable. So long as nobody is being harmed, your comfort with others' choices is your fucking problem. Thinking you are the arbiter of acceptability is just your superiority complex. Deal with your fucking discomfort and let people live their lives. Shut the fuck up. How about that? Why don't you just shut the fuck up? Now, a lot of you have been hit by another dark night of the soul. You've also started a new healing cycle. You may experience excessive exhaustion and want to nap all day. You've been working very hard, astrally, and you may dream of old fears from childhood, ones that you have completely forgotten. This is a deep subconscious cleanse to prepare our vessel for a union inner and outer. Now, womb activations may come through along with the pain in the ovaries and lower pelvic region. Oh, my God, is this why I hurt? Number 9 activations are coming in strong to those close to an old cycle before you begin a new one. So you may see 9999999999 for the same. You've learned not to abandon yourself, and this will reflect as love flowing in from all directions. You'll be grounded in your being and feel safe with your emotions. You know? Now, I do have one item here. Actually, a couple. Very, very, very good stuff here. Shit that I fucking saved for the damn radio station. Now, we do have a real astronomical phenomenon, so don't miss it. This is a phenomenon of 3 planets aligning this week. Jupiter, Saturn, and Mercury, they're visible in the pre-dawn sky this week, along with the crescent moon. So So early Tuesday morning, an extraordinary sight began to unfold in the dark sky, visible to the naked eye. Now, three planets, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mercury, aligned their orbits, creating an optical effect of appearing side by side. Now, the planetary trio will also be in conjunction with the waning crescent moon for three successful mornings until Thursday. Now, this alignment gave us a rare peek at Mercury. Now, planetary conjunction occurs when multiple planetary orbits line up. Now, though it appears as if they are next to each other in the sky, the distance between the planets remains the same. Now, these rare events often happen many years apart, but Jupiter and Saturn are in conjunction once every 20 years. Now, in December 2020, if you remember, Jupiter and Saturn appeared so close to each other they resembled a giant star in the sky in what was known as the Great Conjunction. The last time it happened? 400 years ago. Now, Mercury, the smallest planet in our solar system, is difficult to spot with the naked eye because of its size and proximity to the sun. It is often visible at the specific times of the year, after sunset or in the early twilight. Jupiter and Mercury were in a peak conjunction on March 5th. Now, soon after peak, Mercury reached its greatest maximum elongation from the sun on March 6th. While the two planets' conjunction have already passed, Mercury will still be visible during the alignment of the planetary trio. Now, in the southeastern horizon early Tuesday morning, during the three planets alignment, Jupiter and Mercury will be 0.3 degrees apart, and with Saturn at the two planets to the right at 8 degrees above the horizon. Now, even though they seem really close, they're actually extremely far away. Mercury is 89 million miles apart from Earth. Jupiter is 551 million miles away. And Saturn is the furthest at almost a billion miles from Earth. The closest object in proximity to Earth is the Moon at 239,700 miles away. Very, very interesting. Now, they will be, Jupiter and Saturn will be visible in the early morning eastern sky for the rest of March. Mercury will continue to be seen as a bright star until the 20th. Now check this out. Ancient remains prove women have been running shit for at least 9,000 years. The skeleton of an ancient woman with hunting gear is challenging long-standing beliefs that men went out to hunt while women simply gathered. The 9,000-year-old remains were found with a fully decked-out hunting kit, including 20 stone projectiles and a pile of neatly stacked blades. The discovery spurred a team of archaeologists to investigate reports of other burial sites, leading them to theorize that there were more gender-equal roles in ancient tribes than modern scholars thought. Now, the archaeologist studies was published in the Journal of Science Advances on Wednesday. The lead author, Randall Hawes, and his team found the grave of an ancient woman in a Peruvian archaeological site sitting at an altitude of nearly 13,000 feet. When they saw the toolkit next to the body, they thought they uncovered some really cool hotshot hunter guy. Yeah, they thought it was a man. Everybody was talking about how this was a great chief, a big man. But the shape of the bones were different from the man's. And a dental analysis later confirmed they belonged to a young woman estimated to be around 17 to 19 years old. The analysis of her teeth also showed that she had a hunter's diet consisting of both meat and plants, leading the team to conclude she was a young hunter. The discovery led the crew to search for records of other ancient graves filled with individuals who were buried with hunting tools. Out of 107 sites where over 8,000 years old, 10 women and 16 men were found with such items. It's pretty small sample size, but the authors believe that it's enough for a finding to conclude that women took part in big game hunting. Their statistical models provided a possible percentage range of sexes that made up hunting groups, which they estimated were about 30 to 50% women. This meant that the team wrote that early big game hunting was likely gender neutral or nearly so. This is in stark contrast to contemporary societies of modern-day hunting, gathering groups, which tend to have firm gender roles. Labor practices among recent hunter-gatherer societies are highly gendered, which might lead to some belief that sexist inequalities and things like pay or rank are somehow natural. But it's now clear that sexual division of labor was fundamentally different, likely more equitable, in our species' deep hunter-gatherer past. Now, in other words, the discovery provides evidence that female hunters might not be as uncommon as some people might think. The authors of the study even called out other scholars for bias, writing that they generally accept that projectile points associated with male burials are hunting tools, but have been less willing to concede that projectile points associated with female burials are hunting tools. The message of the new finding is that women have always been able to hunt and have, in fact, hunted. And frankly, no one should have been taken aback by the discovery. These women were living high up in the Andes, 13,000 feet, full time. If you can do that, surely you can bring down a deer. Medicine has always seen women first and foremost as reproductive bodies. Our reproductive organs were the greatest source of difference to men. And because they were different, they were mysterious and suspicious. But the fallout of this difference is that for a long time, medicine assumed it was the only difference. Because women had reproductive organs, they should reproduce, and all else about them was deemed uninteresting. In the early 20th century, the endocrine system, which produces hormones, was discovered. To medical minds, this represented another difference between men and women, overtaking the uterus as the primary perpetrator of all women's ills. Still, medicine persisted with the belief that all other organs and functions would operate the same in men and women, so there was no need to study women. Conversely, researchers said that the menstrual cycle and varied release of hormones throughout the cycle in rodents introduced too many variables into a study. Therefore, females could not be studied. What? Diseases presenting differently in women are often missed and misdiagnosed, and those affecting mainly women are largely a mystery. Understudied and undertreated and frequently misdiagnosed or undiagnosed, this has a major knock-off effect for both medical practice and the health of women. Medicine defines the female and male bodies as distinct but not equal. Analysis of medical texts throughout history reveals the male body to be constructed as superior and the template against which bodies are judged. Any aspect of the female body that differs from the male or that cannot be given a male comparative, exemplified by the uterus, is viewed as evidence of deviation or fault. Because women can bear children, medical discourse associated women with the body and men with the mind, a binary division that reinforces and reinforced by the public-private division. In addition to restricting women's public contribution, such beliefs provide medicine with the explanatory model of disease and illness in women. To deny one's biological destiny is to incite all manner of diseases, as Plato stated when theorizing the wandering womb. Now, what we see in predominantly female conditions, women in endometriosis are told that delayed childbearing causes illness or that pregnancy will cure it. Women with breast cancer were once fed this line until advances in research, which only occurred because women campaigned for better knowledge and treatment, proved otherwise. During the 80s, a group of female scientists in the U.S. formed a society to campaign for better health research for women, now called the Society for Women's Health Research. They teamed up with some of U.S. Congress members to draw attention to the discrepancies in medical research and the effect on women's health. In 1985, a report by the U.S. Public Health Service Task Force on Women's Health warned that the historical lack of research focus on women's health concerns has compromised the quality of health information available to women, as well as the health care they receive. Now, the campaign drew attention to some of the absurdities that resulted from the male bias, which has been summarized as the truth about how bad medicine and lazy science leave women dismissed, misdiagnosed, and sick. Noted that in the early 60s, observing that women tended to have lower rates of heart disease until their estrogen levels dropped after menopause, researchers conducted the first trial to look at whether supplementation with a hormone was an effective preventative treatment. Now, the study enrolled 8,341 men and no women. And a National Institute of Health-supported pilot study from Rockefeller University that looked at how obesity affected breast cancer and uterine cancer didn't enroll a single woman. Didn't enroll a fucking single woman. I don't know, guys. I don't know. But I really feel like there's a lot of things that we're just, you know, we're just missing in life. We're dismissing the knowledge. And Mr. Rep. Madison Paul Forn, it's time, he says, Facebook, Twitter, Google, Amazon, all these big tech companies started answering for their crimes. The First Amendment isn't a suggestion. Well, Mr. Cawthorn, no wonder the Naval Academy rejected you and then you lied about it. You don't even know what the First Amendment limits the power of government, not corporations. Do we need to send you a copy of the Constitution? Because you need to read it. You're out of your league, sir. You know, it's fucking insane, man. I really just do not understand a lot of things going on here. Anyone that says you don't need to cut carbs to lose weight, I don't know, man. But I have a question. How long are we supposed to wait until the goal is 100% rather than 50% reduction in child poverty? How long are we supposed to wait again before the American president will do more for health care than just what health insurance's company will tell him he's allowed to do? How long? Why is it that conglomerates and businesses, corporations, have more rights than we do? I don't know. A new bill in California will require a four-year degree to become a cop. I think this is necessary. I really do, because the cops that come to my house are like children wearing their daddy's clothes, or the other one is an old lady who had to go back to work. So I don't know, man. I don't know. But I would like to people to think of Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a judge who did the best that she could with whatever limited talent that she had, to keep our country true to what makes it a great nation and to keep things going and make things a little better than they may have been before she had been there. RGB was born on this day in 1933 in Brooklyn. So many doors and so many things that you have done for both men and women and people of color and LGBTQ and everyone. Thank you. Happy birthday, ma'am. Rest in power. Well, you guys, that is the tea for meow. I think we did all right. I think we did okay today. I got to head to work. My new phone comes in the mail today. Yay! Just got another iPhone. I got me a bought and paid for straight out rights. Consumer cellular for everything. I paid $7.11, and my fucking bill will be $57 a month, and that includes Apple Care. Yay! So I'm excited for that. I hope this episode finds you in good spirits. I hope everyone has a wonderful day. It's time for me to get up out of here. Thanks for listening. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. Black Lives Matter. Fuck Donald Trump and the GOP. And I'll see you guys again soon. Bye!